It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. We got a great show for you today. I had a guest lined up, and I don't know where the guest is, but I hope he just is stuck in traffic. But until that time, we are going to be talking about a couple of different things. You know, I've sort of been talking about the healthcare issue this week. And if you really start to look at what's going on in the news with all these things, and there's a backlash that's going on against the healthcare bill. And you when you see such an astronomical backlash, you have to understand, you have to ask yourself, why? Why is there such a backlash? Why? And so when you start to process it out in the, you know, the recesses of your mind, excuse me, you start to think, well, maybe it's because there's a whole lot of people in this country that wanted nothing to do with it. And maybe the backlash is a healthy response to people ramming certain things down the people's throats at the behest of their handlers, which I less than affectionately call the New World Order. You know, this thing, these guys understand, these Democrats, they understand they only got a few months left in, or like 10 months left in order to get across everything that they want to get across, because they've already shot themselves in the foot. They've already turned off the American people to such a degree that they really want nothing to do with them. They've really, you know, the people, the blacks and all the liberals that realize that they've been duped, are finally coming to realize. They gave them a good year to see what was going on. They really waited in hopeful anticipation to see what Barack Obama was going to do. But he knows in his heart that he's going to be a one-term president. Unless there's a war, of course, a false flag terrorist operation, you know, something like that. And so these are the types of things. I mean, you look at where Bush was at, you know, with 9/11, and then afterwards they need him. Same with Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani was in the middle of a bitter divorce. He wasn't even living at Gracie Mansion, which is the mayor's residence in the city of New York, because he had been kicked out by his wife because he was stepping and creeping with another lady. So, you know, when you start to look at these types of things, then whiz, bang, boom, 9/11 comes along, and all of a sudden, Rudy Giuliani's now running for president because he, you know, was there at the time. So don't think for one second our government doesn't use false flag operations in order to bring about the types of wholesale changes that they want to bring about. And, you know, again, there's a lot of us that realize that this, everything that the government's trying to do is right in step with the UN, and which is, you know, the New World Order. And the New World Order wants a lot less of us. And I can't say this enough to you on the show over and over and over again, that this is a eugenics job. This is about having less people on the earth. And their reasons are multifold. For one, they can't control 7 billion people. Not with everything they've got. For two, they, you know, with the technology as it is, they don't need us all. So when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy, we're going to jump into this when we, and hopefully my guest will show up, because it's a good one. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right.
Say it.
Let's get together and feel all right.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Let's get together and feel all right, man, on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. I'd love to hear from you, as always, at 1-800-313-9443. That number, once again, 1-800-313-9443. I absolutely love talking to my fellow man about the issues. You know, and I talked yesterday about a friend of mine, Scott Lucy, that basically told me, and you know, and anybody that's been in the freedom movement for any length of time has had this happen to them. But sometimes these incidents are a little bit more painful than others. You know, I had a friend that, you know, I knew when we first became friends in like 1994, when I started college and started driving taxi in my hometown of Plattsburgh, New York. I had a friend that was a communist, okay? But that doesn't matter to me, you know? It's like someone's religion to me. It doesn't matter what you think and how you believe in the world. It's how you treat me. And my friend Scott and I, Scott Lucy, we had had a long-term friendship that was, you know, even though I've lived back in Phoenix for, what, almost 10 and a half years now, you know, we've maintained, I guess you would call it a long-distance friendship. And, you know, I go back to Plattsburgh, New York every once in a while, and that's my hometown. And the thing is anybody that's been in the freedom movement for any length of time has lost friendships over it. And it's never easy, and it's heartbreaking. You know, I didn't sleep well last night because my friend, even though I apologized to him on the air yesterday, I sent him the clip. I made one offhanded remark on his Facebook page. That was it. You know, this is something I felt like I could speak freely, and he accused me of being a liar and all this, and actually resorted to threatening me. And it's breaking my heart, actually, but I guess on the other hand, I understand, you know, when you have a revolution, you know, a lot of times it ends up being brother against brother, father against son, because people's feelings about the way the world should be run so very strong and so very deep. And so, you know, I can only hope that I'll be friends with my friend again, but the prospects don't look very good. I've never seen him so angry as he is at me right now, and we have been through a lot together, you know, on a lot of different levels. We've been very good friends. I don't think we'd ever had a cross word before I made one comment on a Facebook page about, you know, his activities and advocating for healthcare as well. And so, you know, in no way did I, in way, shape, or form, did I mean to hurt him. But, you know, I started getting all these texts and messages that he was threatening me. And I'm not upset. I'm not worried about it or anything. It just hurts my feelings so deeply that we can't all just get along, you know, and come together. It's always got to be a man against man. And that's just very indicative of what the system has done to us over and over and over again. Excuse me. So I'm feeling a little bit down today, but my resolve is still as strong as ever about getting this word out about the New World Order, because I do care about my fellow man. I do care what happens to my fellow man, and I care about what happens in the world. You know, and it's one of those things that, you know, what can you do? I did the best I could to apologize for hurting his feelings. And now I just have to move on. You know, there's something that my wife and I always talk about, that there's two things. The emotions of guilt and jealousy are wasted emotions, because nothing ever good comes from them. If you feel guilty about something, you can either fix it or you can't. Either way, you have to move on, because anything else is counterproductive. And so I did the very best that I could to help remedy the situation with my friend. I accepted full responsibility for the words that I said, which I always do, like I do on this show. I take full responsibility for everything that I say and broadcast on this program. You know, even, you know, and actually, I'm actually more I guess, protective because this is Ernest Hancock's show. And so I'm actually speaking under someone else's name. So I'm actually very, you know, I'm very careful about the things that I say, even though I tend to say some very radical things. And you know, Ernest wants me to be myself. But yet there's that little caveat. There's a little nugget somewhere in the back of my mind that I, you know, I maybe hold back with the things that I want to say because there's somebody else's, it's somebody else's name up on that marquee, and I'm just speaking under those auspices. So it's very sad day for me today. You know, I got my dog is almost dying. She's been with us since my wife and I have been together for, my goodness, since 1996. So it'll be 14 years this year, and she's been with us since we were like going out for 9 months. And my dog Maris, you know, she's really on her last legs. She's going to be, you know, she'd be 13 in June, and she's a lab, and that's about their age limit. And yeah, you know, I got a heavy heart today. You know, I'm not quite as angry as I normally am about this healthcare stuff, but we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to go to John in Indiana. Welcome to the program, John. What's on your mind, brother? Happy Friday.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Anyway, a number of things. The immigration from people coming from Mexico into the country.
Yes, sir.
The unfortunate thing is that in the past, people came here to find themselves and better themselves. It was a land of opportunity. And unfortunately, now people are coming into the country to take advantage of the entitlements, which is unfortunate. All of the goodies that the government promises.
Well, how could they fix that?
I don't know, but I know that this is one reason that that people are coming. Some people are coming here, and I suppose a fix is to get rid of the entitlement.
Exactly.
Which I think is going to happen. Then the other thing, people seem to be waking up to what's going on and don't like it. And I think that the government's reaction will be, like you said, another Pearl Harbor,
yes.
Another...
Gulf of Tonkin,
another,
yeah.
Another scenario where many people are killed and we start the Third World War. I think that's how they'll solve it. And that'll be their solution. And possibly 3 to 5 million people now are waking up, and when it gets to 10, why or 15, why then the government, the administration is in serious trouble.
Well, you know, someone, you know, one of the rocks that went through the windows of the, you know, one of the congressmen the other day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. But a lot of it's being proven that it was Democrats trying to get sympathy and divert
it. Oh, yeah. It's a Democratic false flag.
Right. And the thing is, though, is someone put a 3, you know, the Roman numeral 3 on the rock, they painted it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that it was 3% of those that could were eligible to be in the militia to fight in the original revolution,
mm-hmm.
were the ones that fought and defeated the biggest, most powerful army in the world, the
mm-hmm.
British army. So 3%,
mm-hmm.
3% won.
Yeah.
And this is what they desperately try to minimize and not mm-hmm. help us understand.
And another thing that happens is this. People who control have a very workable control. They always have, but occasionally they're hit with surprises. For example, Coca-Cola. So they had to answer with Pepsi-Cola. The Model T. So they had to answer with General Motors. And now, of course, the Internet, I think to a degree, was a surprise because they knew about the Internet and planned the Internet, but they didn't expect it to give people immediate information all over the world. So now I think they're using the Internet right now to find out who the people who are not politically correct are, and they're very soon going to control the Internet and the RBN will not exist.
I know.
I think that's right down the road. And but again, the Third World War could start whenever they decide to start it.
Yeah, I mean, they've funded both sides of every war since World War One.
Oh yeah, the control is controlling everything, both sides, and making everybody argue about things that are not relevant.
Yeah, like the immigration issue. I mean, hey John, we're going to break, brother. Do you want to hang on? Or
I was
going
to say one more thing: guilt and jealousy are bad emotions, but they are part of the education process. If they make you learn to
hey, hold on, John. I want to hold you over. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock with me, Jet Lacy.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. With me, Jet Lacy. Just remember, it's always darkest before the dawn. And it's awful dark right now, so you just got to understand, we got to stay the course, and we got to keep fighting this good fight for individual liberties. You know, and sometimes those fights involve, losing your friends and family over differences of opinion. And are you still there with me, John?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry I had to cut you off. It was the radio, the break, and there was nothing I could do about it. Please continue with what you were talking about.
Two things. An example from history about the Pearl Harbor. Well, of course, the Pearl Harbor thing, but the government of Argentina, the administration was awkward and was losing its popularity. So it was a grandstand play, the Falklands War. Of course, the Falklands War was about natural resources, but it was primarily, I believe, a grandstand play to get popularity for a regime that was losing its popularity.
Absolutely.
And I think something like that the government might, again, do something like that if it's aware of the fact that the American people are about ready to revolt. And then the other thing, the health bill is going to make lots and lots of people mad. The food bill, that's Codex and all of that, is going to rub people the wrong way much more slowly. It won't affect them immediately. It'll be a long time before they see how evil it is.
Right.
But the cap and trade, I think, will make people very mad because they will lose their homes. They will have to spend a great deal of money to make their homes environmentally correct. And they're going to lose their property. And that, I think, will even have a harsher effect than the health thing. I mean, it'll be more immediate. But those, and anyway, the terrible things that the terrible legislation that the Congress is passing and the terrible executive orders that the president is putting out, that is, for example, allowing Interpol to operate in the country with immunity. And
man, John, you know a lot.
Terrible.
You should have your own radio show.
Well, anyway.
I agree with you.
That's about all I have right now. I've only listened to RBN for a year.
I thank you so much for calling, man. You're a wealth of information, and you know, it looks like you read a lot of the same things that I do, and I tell you what, that Codex Alimentarius is evil.
It's terrible. It's going to allow the garbage from overseas to be dumped on the American market. It's going to make it impossible for people here to get nutritious food. And it's all in line with murder.
Eugenics.
Murder is the essence of our foreign and domestic policies.
Right, eugenics.
Mass murder.
Absolutely. Did you see that about when I was talking about it yesterday, I believe, about the Georgia Guidestones? And
yeah, I didn't know that they were only 30 years old.
Right, but they were signed. The health care was signed at the exact minute, 30 years
exact
to the minute. What?
It was timed exactly.
Exactly 30 years to the minute that the Georgia Guidestones were unveiled, the health care bill was signed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's all supposed to look like it's all very, 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 very carefully planned.
But they're making their final play, John, and they're making the final push, and they have to expose themselves, and they're aware that they're exposing themselves as the New World Order. And people are starting to wake up, and I still believe in good over evil. I can't help it. I know that mm-hmm. evil sometimes does win, but I believe that the goodness mm-hmm. of the universe and the mm-hmm. you know, good always wins out over evil. Mm-hmm.
I believe that God is like a white diamond, mm-hmm. and Lucifer is like a black. And I think that the evil is a single intelligence. Lucifer is a many-faceted black diamond, and God is a single intelligence, and it's a many-faceted white diamond, clear diamond. I think that's the conflict in the world, and the conflict right now is the conflict between liberty and tyranny. Liberty is the source of wealth. Mm-hmm. Tyranny is the cause of poverty.
Right.
Because wealth is the ability of the potential in the individual to express himself.
Indeed.
It's also, someone said it's land. It is land. Wealth is land. But wealth is a combination of land and the ability of the individual to express himself.
Absolutely.
And that's liberty.
People don't remember that their property is also what their knowledge is.
Yeah.
You know, people don't get that their part of your property is that you're what you bring to the table and how you manipulate the earth.
You use it.
Right.
And property is a relationship between a person and a material thing.
Are you an Austrian economist or what, John?
What?
Are you an Austrian economist or what? Thank you so much for your call. I have really enjoyed speaking with you today. Thank you so much. And call back anytime, brother. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and the Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy, we're going to jump back into this, and please give us a call at 800-313-9443, just like John in Indiana. Be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Oh, the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesy.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. I'm having a crazy day today, you know, and I just want to say thanks to Janine Zucker. I got the Skype from Carrie in the booth. You know, Janine's a great girl, and she said she was going to bring something called STEM Enhance that she sells, and I think I've heard some commercials here on the air for it, and I'll do anything. I appreciate it. I do appreciate that, you know, Janine's looking out for my dog because, you know, my wife and I don't remember what life was like without Maris Lacy. You know, just one of those things, you know. She was, she's a tough girl, man. My dog was a criminal mastermind. You know, a perfect story is when my wife graduated from nursing school a couple years ago, my in-laws came and we went, you know, Beth and I and her brother and sister, Danielle and Mike, we went to LA for a few days, go to Universal Studios, go to the beach, all that stuff. And they, you know, my in-laws, Fred and Jane Verderosa, watched my dogs for us. And I tell you what, we came back and Jane, my mother-in-law, says, you know, I think one of the dogs went into my purse and took out one single cookie and I had five or six in there. I was like, ooh, that's Maris. Ooh, that's Maris. She was so smart. She knew that if she only took one cookie, she might not get pinched. You know, if she ate them all, she's going to be in trouble. This dog, honest to God, used to take one piece of pizza out of a pizza box and close the box again. She's just an amazing dog. She had a head like a stone, just like her dad, which is me. And, you know, we had our go rounds and we really didn't like each other for a lot of our, you know, her lifetime. But I tell you what, I always respected her. And, you know, she's going out on her own. You know, she just got this amazing will of this dog, of a dog I've never seen. And she's one of the smartest dogs I've ever met. And my household is going to be have a big void when she's gone. So anyway, thank you to Janine for offering me to offering to give me something to help my dog. So anyway, getting back to what we're talking about, again, thank you to John in Indiana for the call. I'm a little bit burned out on this heavy stuff, you know, and I had planned on having a guest today so we could talk about the issues, positive issues, libertarian issues, and that just didn't work out. So there's an article that I printed out on the 5th of this month on lewrockwell.com, which is a great website. He created the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Lou Rockwell's been, he was one of the first guests we ever had on this show, Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, you know, the very first week. And man, I was so sick that week, and but I was so excited to get to ask Lou Rockwell a question. He's a hero of mine in Austrian economics. And if you go back to the archives, which you can get the archives from this show for free every single day, commercial free, at freedomswithanSphoenix.com, if you just click on one of the tabs that says Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, you can go download the MP3 every single day for free to put on your iPod or whatever like that. And, you know, you can enjoy it at your leisure. But I tell you what, I got to ask Lou a question. And it was the first time I had ever been on the air, period. And I was so sick, I could hardly breathe. I'm like, you know, but it was like my first week working with Ernest, and I wasn't going to call in, that's for sure. Even though this is a voluntary type of volunteer job, you know, I was excited about the radio show, and I'm still excited about the radio show because I love the fact that I hear from, you know, people from all over the place. And, oh, by the way, just a little bit of housekeeping business for you listeners out there that I had, you know, there was a problem with the DVD situation. Some of them were empty and things like that. And I got emails back and I had them all packaged up and they ended up, my wife put them in the glove box of my car and I forgot to mail them out. I went in the glove box for something. I'm like, God. So I sent them out yesterday. So there's a few listeners out there, probably about 10 listeners that probably were wondering where the heck their DVDs are that I promised them. Anyway, they're in the mail right now, and I apologize for the delay. It was at least a month, so I apologize for that, and they're on their way, so be on the lookout for that in the mail. Anyway, I wanted to talk about this article by Ron Paul, and he actually wrote this for the Young Americans for Liberty website, which is the younger people's version of the Campaign for Liberty, which is his political action committee. And then the title of the article is My Plan for a Freedom President. You know, because people are always asking him, what are you going to do if you're president for the first time? You know, you're talking about making all these huge astronomical changes and, you know, getting rid of so many things. So what are you going to do first? So there's a 8-page article on lewrockwell.com. By Ron Paul, and you can actually look up the Ron Paul archives right from the front page of lewrockwell.com. And he starts out by saying, since my 2008 campaign for the presidency, I've often been asked, how would a constitutionalist president go about dismantling the welfare warfare state and restoring a constitutional republic? This is a very important question because without a clear roadmap and a set of priorities, such a president runs the risk of having his pro-freedom agenda stymied by various vested interests that benefit from big government. Of course, just as the welfare warfare state was not constructed in 100 days, it could not be dismantled in the first 100 days of any presidency either. While our goal is to reduce the size of the state of the state as quickly as possible, we should always make sure our immediate proposals minimize social disruption and human suffering. Thus, we should not seek to abolish the social safety net overnight, because that would harm those who have grown dependent on government-provided welfare. Instead, we would want to give individuals who have come to rely on the state time to prepare for the day when responsibility for providing aid is returned to those organizations best able to administer compassionate and effective help, churches and private charities. Now, this need for a transition period does not apply to all types of welfare. For example, I would have no problem defunding corporate welfare programs such as Export-Import Bank or the TARP Bank bailouts right away. I find it difficult to muster much sympathy for the CEOs of Lockheed Martin and Goldman Sachs. Regardless of what the president wants to do, most major changes in government programs would require legislation to be passed by Congress. Obviously, the election of a constitutionalist president would signal that our ideas have been accepted by a majority of the American public and would probably lead to the election of several pro-freedom congressmen and senators. Furthermore, some senators and representatives would become, quote, born-again constitutionalists out of a sense of self-preservation. Man, ain't that the truth. Yet there would still be a fair number of politicians who would try to obstruct our freedom agenda. Thus, even if a president wanted to eliminate every unconstitutional program in one fell swoop, he would very unlikely obtain the necessary support in Congress. Yet a pro-freedom president and his legislative allies could make tremendous progress simply by changing the terms of the negotiations that go on in Washington regarding the size and scope of government. Today, negotiations over legislation tend to occur between those who want a 100% increase in federal spending and those who want a 50% increase. Their compromise is a 75% increase. With a president serious about following the Constitution, backed by a substantial block of sympathetic representatives in Congress, negotiation on outlays would be between those who want to keep funding government programs and those who want to eliminate them outright. Thus, a compromise would be a 50% decrease in spending. Fantastic. You understand this? You know, we need someone like Ron Paul that cares about our individual liberties in this country. You know, this is my favorite quote that he's ever said is, I don't know how to run your life. I think you should run your life. I don't know how to run the economy. I think the economy should run itself. And those two individual sentences means the world to me. And from that moment on, when I heard him say that, I was a diehard Ron Paul supporter. And I understand there's a lot of haters out there that say, oh, you know, Ron Paul, blah, 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 he's playing politics. You know, find me someone else. You know, it's easy to pick on somebody when they can't defend themselves, but you find someone else in the entire federal government of the United States who has worked more tirelessly and returned a portion of his spending, you know, his account that he gets, the funding he gets to run his office, he returns a portion of it every single year to the Treasury. This year was $100,000. He returned to the Treasury. Nobody else does that. Nobody. You understand that? You know, while a president who strictly adheres to the Constitution would need the consent of Congress for very large changes in the size of government, such as shutting down cabinet departments, he could use his constitutional authority as head of the executive branch and as commander-in-chief to take several significant steps towards liberty on his own. The area where the modern chief executive has the greatest ability to act unilaterally is in foreign affairs. Unfortunately, Congress has abdicated its constitutional authority to declare wars, instead passing vague, quote, authorization of force bills that would allow the president to send any number of troops to almost any part of the world. The legislature doesn't even effectively use its power of the purse to rein in the executive. Instead, Congress serves as little more than a rubber stamp for the president's requests. And therefore, and ergo, the judiciary serves as little more than a rubber stamp for the Congress's requests. So you understand, all of the three branches of government are nothing more. There are supposed to be three independent branches that are co-equal, but they're all playing on the same team. You understand that? They're all doing nothing more than creating legitimacy for whatever the state wants to accomplish. That's something that I talk about a lot about Murray Rothbard, who was Lou Rockwell's mentor, was Ron Paul's mentor, and who brought, you know, Austrian economics to a widespread understanding. You know, he's, you know, I have his shirt and it says enemy of the state, and he's a little tiny old Jewish guy from Bronx. You know, I mean, he's even buried. I talked about this on the show. He's buried in Virginia, just outside like Monticello. And, you know, he only has a basic plaque for his grave marker. You know, these types of things, this helps you understand what types of people these people are. They're not concerned with this status. They're not concerned with, you know, what's going on Dancing with the Stars and all that crap. People that are truly concerned with the individual liberties, their own, realize that they have to advocate for others' individual liberties, or else it just doesn't mean anything. For one person to individually have their own freedom to do whatever they see fit doesn't work. It's one of those all-or-none principles. And, you know, these are the sort of things that we have to think about. We have to, that's why we talk about this stuff. This is an education show when I sit in for Ernest. I want to educate you as to what's going on in the world and why. Because I've spent thousands of hours at this point, you know, looking this stuff up, writing about it, reading, and talking about it. And, you know, that's part of the reason why people like my friend Scott don't want to associate with me, because my views are so different, yet I'm so focused on this fight for individual liberty. I hope someday that he understands that that's all I'm concerned with, that I had his best interests at heart no matter what. I have everybody's best interests at heart because by proxy, it's by proxy because I have my own best interests at heart. And that's what we're talking about here. This is what individual, that's the beauty of individual liberty. If you want to protect the individual, that's protecting the smallest minority. So, you know, when you hear people like Ron Paul talking about these sorts of subjects and how he would exactly go about bringing about these changes that he's been talking about for 40 years now, then maybe you can understand where people like me and people that only care about the protection of individual liberties, that is the only legitimate purpose for government, and that's it. It's not the roads. It's not anything else. It's not infrastructure. It's not the railways. It's not the electrical systems, you know, the infrastructure, none of it. The only legitimate purpose of government is to secure the individual liberties of the people that are inside that country at the time. And I don't mean just citizens. I mean anybody, because these rights are natural rights. They are natural rights that are involved, that were given to you as a result of your humanity. They're not to be taken away or granted by the whims of men. They're only because you are a human and you were created in the image of your creator. And the creator being free, you were born free and you remain free. And you can only not be free if you allow yourself not to be free. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy, we're going to talk about this again. So we'll be right back in just a minute.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Take my hand when you are worried. Take my hand when you're alone. Take my hand and let me guide you. Take my hand and lead you on.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. You know, take my hand if you're worried. Take my hand if you feel alone, because you are not alone. You are not alone in this fight for individual liberties. You are not alone in this. That's right. The revolution continues. My man Ed Vallejo is here, and he's making signs to go up to Searchlight, Nevada. And I'll have him on here in just, you know, we got the two short segments here, and then we got a 12-minute segment coming up at the 10 after. You know, I'll have him on the show, and we'll talk about what's going on up there in Searchlight, Nevada today. And this weekend, because it's a pretty big deal. And, you know, Ed was lamenting that, you know, people in the freedom movement here in Phoenix, Arizona haven't really been participating. And, you know, guess who's guilty of that? Yours truly. You know, I don't have anything to hide. I just, you know, like I said, you know, I've been taking a step back from the freedom movement and kind of doing my own thing. Like I said, I walked 4.5 miles each way to the doctor's office the other day. I'm trying to get in shape so that I can stand up for my family when the time comes, because, you know, we're going to talk about this in the next hour. I just didn't have it in me to keep harping on the negative. And I just wanted to talk about positives today. You know, I wanted to talk about, you know, issues and what we can do to further individual liberty, to take back that which is so desperately being trying to take away from us. So I'm reading this article, you know, it's called My Plan for a Freedom President, How I Would Put the Constitution Back in the Oval Office by Ron Paul, it was posted anyway on the 5th of March on lewrockwell.com. And he says, it goes on to say, he's talking about the war. And these are the types of things that the president, you know, that a constitutional president could do right away. There's a lot of things that he couldn't do right away. He says, if the president has the power to order U.S. forces into combat on nothing more than his own say-so, then it stands to reason he can order troops home. Therefore, on the first day in office, a constitutionalist can begin orderly withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq and Afghanistan. He can also begin withdrawing troops from other areas of the world. The United States has over 300,000 troops stationed in more than 146 countries. You know, that's a lot. Most, if not all, of these deployments bear little or no relationship to preserving the safety of the American people. For example, over 20 years after the fall of Berlin, the Berlin Wall, the U.S. still maintains troops in Germany. You know? Over 50 years after the Korean War, we still have troops there. You know, over 60 years, you know, after World War II, we still have troops in Germany and in Japan and Italy and everywhere. Do you understand why people can't stand Americans? Do you understand that? Can you fathom that? Oh, excellent. Hey, we only got a couple of minutes, so I'm going to, you know, we're going to have to do this over two segments. It's only a minute break between, but I got Ralph in South Carolina on the phone. Welcome to the show, brother. What's on your mind?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, bro. Well, I'm not doing so great, but I'm hanging in. What's going on with you?
I heard you make a statement yesterday that you don't think we need to have restricted borders, any restriction on immigration. Is that true?
To a certain extent, yes. I believe that freedom of movement in the world is so important. You know, we're just stewards of this earth, and you know, borders are just arbitrary lines. So,
yeah, well,
wait, Ralph. Ralph. I got to go to break, but we got just a 1 minute break. So that's why I said I'm going to have you over for two segments. So hold that thought. We'll be right back in 1 minute's time on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. Be right back.